Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Today could mark a big step towards a reforming gun control policies across the nation as U.S. Senate Democrats meet with their Republican counterparts to try and broker a deal on legislation filed yesterday following a GOP filibuster threat. Also in Washington today are 11 relatives of the victims of the shootings at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. They will be meeting with legislators and pushing for reforms. Those relatives caught a ride to Washington on Air Force One last night from Hartford following a speech by President Barack Obama in which he warned Republicans not to delay on the reforms, which include expanded federal background checks for gun buyers and measures to address gun trafficking, including more onerous penalties for the so-called straw buyers. Recent polling shows that more than 90% of Americans support expanded background checks. Today, we want to know what you think about the latest debate and whether you think the legislation now under consideration should be passed. We also want your take on term limits for New York state legislators in the wake of the latest ethics scandals that rocked Albany last week. That's program B if you don't want to talk about A. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. I really want you to call. I don't want to be sitting here without you. 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wmc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. And you can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. And starting today, this is very important. Listen up. You can email us your questions and comments at voxpop@wamc.org. Remember, the more concise your comments are, the more likely we are to read them on air. Okay, so that's it. You know, what do you think? Phones are ringing. We got three on the hook. Let's go to Phil in Amherst. Okay, Phil, you're on.
Hi, Alan. There's one point that hasn't been brought up in the whole gun debate.
Yeah.
Where are the illegal guns being used? They're being used in the so-called war on drugs because it's a black market. There's huge profits. The profits come from making these drugs illegal. And people want to protect their money and their territory. So huge amounts of guns are available. 70,000 or more people have died in Mexico from these drug wars. All we have to do is make all these drugs legal. The two worst drugs already are legal, alcohol and tobacco. Make them legal and all those guns would be off the street.
You think so?
Well, why would they have them on the street if they didn't have any money to make out of these drugs?
Well, you know, there are, 300 million guns around. So it's not as if the only ones that are being used are the ones that are being used for drug deals. I mean, I agree with you, but I don't know that I agree that we should make really dangerous drugs legal, like heroin, for example.
Alcohol and tobacco are more dangerous than heroin.
Well, let's put it this way. I don't want to start that game. What I do want to say is that there are many very dangerous drugs. I don't want to see them getting to our children. Now, marijuana is a different story, I think. But you know, when we talk about heroin, we're talking about some of the others. I don't agree with you about that, although I think your point is interesting that much of the illegal gun trade, or some of it anyway, is to support people selling drugs in this country. So I'll meet you halfway. Okay. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Right. Let's go to Fran in Newport, Rhode Island. Hey, Fran.
Alan, how are you? My question to you is, how much juice does Mayor Bloomberg have with the Bloomberg rating and with being able to call these folks out in the next election and put money the way the NRA does? That's my question. I'll take it offline.
No. Stay there, Fran, for a minute.
All right.
You know, I think you make a very good point. First of all, in this country, money talks, all others walk, period, end of discussion. If you can put that kind of money into a campaign, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, it's certainly going to counter the advocacy groups for guns, the NRA and others. So it, like chicken soup, Fran, it can't hurt. But do I think it's the total answer? No. But I think it's a large part of it. And I think if he's willing to spend that kind of money, I so admire him on this. I think it'll make a difference.
Do the people on the left have the kind of money that the people have on the right? To, you know, I know, well, for example, Bloomberg helped that young lady, I believe it was, in mm-hmm. Chicago get elected.
Yep.
In that election, right?
Right, special election, right.
I mean, can the Warren Buffetts and the Gates and the Bloombergs and the Shartoks, maybe not the Shartoks.
Oh, yeah, the Shartoks have all that money. That's true. Yeah, right.
No, seriously, I mean, because is that what's standing in front of this gun legislation? Is it really the lobbying money?
Certainly. Look, Fran, if there's some guy who thinks that he's going to either be elected or not based on his position. Look, these guys, they put their finger up in the air and they see which way the wind is blowing. These are not profiles in courage. Now, I think there are a few who are, but I think most of them are not. And therefore, when it looks like they're going to get clobbered, if they go one way or the other, they're going to do what they have to do. Now, I have to say that in the past, I have seen guys who are really cowards not go either way. And inevitably, they're defeated, which is fascinating to me. Because if you ain't for us, you're against us. That's the way the sides sort of come together. Back in the old days, we used to study it in college. There was something called the Taft-Hartley Act, which dealt with organized labor. And the guys who stayed in the middle, forget it. Hey, Fran, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. I want you. I need you. Let's go to Tina in Schenectady. Okay, Tina, you're on.
Hello?
Hi, Tina.
Hi. Am I on the air?
You are indeed on the air. Every syllable you say will be heard by tens of thousands of people.
I'm sorry. I thought I was going to be screened. Okay.
You were screened.
I just wanted, when I listen to people on the gun debate,
yep.
It seems like, I guess there seems to be a disconnect between the Second Amendment and the right of a people to form a militia to defend itself against tyranny, and then the awful, you know, popular mass murders that occur with guns. And I'm just wondering, I just taught the American Revolution in school, and
right.
I don't want the children to think that they can't fight for liberty or resist tyranny, and that takes force and violence sometimes. It's necessary. And so how do we dial back from the popular violence of such a immoral and violent culture, popular culture, to the natural rights that are enshrined in the Constitution.
Okay. Now, Tina, I need you to tell me what you think. What do you think we should do? Look, on the one hand, you want people to be able to hunt. You want people to be able to, you know, to have certain amount of protection. On the other hand, do you want people who clearly have issues to have guns? Do you want people who are, you know, frankly, out of their minds to have guns?
That's what I'm wondering. I guess I would like to see the debate turned more to the question of morality and moral compass.
Yep.
And psychology and a sick people versus all about the actual weapons. Because it could come a time, you know, under a communist government or even under our own government, that someone might think I was ill or sick or psychotic for my government, you know, for my political views, and I'd be imprisoned like Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, so people have a right to defend themselves from their government, and I guess it just always seems to be missing in these debates. It's all just about how large a gun, how many bullets.
What grade do you teach, Tina?
I homeschool. I homeschool my children.
I see.
And well, I teach a fifth and sixth grade class at a small school.
Okay. Hey, Tina, you've raised some interesting points. Let's see what everybody else has to say about them, okay?
Just want to throw it out there. Thanks so much.
Thanks again, Bye. Tina. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do here. Jay and Lee and Dale and Dick, you stay right where you are. We're going to cut out just a little early, and then we'll have a longer time in the second period here, as they say in basketball.
Support for WAMC comes from Dam Cafe and Deli, Saugerties, New York, serving breakfast and lunch with chef-created soups, salads, vegetarian options, and homemade desserts. Catering services available at thedamcafeanddeli.com. Saratoga Health and Wellness, providing a 12-week weight loss program run by nutritionists and exercise physiologists. SaratogaHealthandWellness.com. Subsidium Technologies, working to help enterprises use custom communications and cloud services to help improve information technology environments. SubsidiumTech.com. And Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more, where eyewear is an art. Facebook or VisionExcelEyeCare.com.
We're back. I'm here with the esteemed producer of this program, Assistant News Director Patrick Donjus. We love him, and he brings in some of the social media here. So what is your social thing there?
Well, Alan, Scott on Facebook says, at least there's a federal discussion and debate on guns, unlike what Governor Andrew Cuomo did in New York. Where is the discussion on mental illness, bullying, drugs, etc.? Guns are a small part of a big problem.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Alan.
Now, I just want to point out to everybody that there are lots of ways you can talk to us, but the new way,
the newest,
believe me, is just by emailing us at voxpop@wamc.org.
State of the art, and we'll get that immediately.
State of the art for us older people.
Mm.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Patrick.
You,
glad you're here. Okay, we got a Jay in Stockbridge. Hi, Jay. How are things?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I was just going to say that I don't understand why we let a microscopic part of the population rule the majority, and it misdirects our attention to guns when it should be a focus on a facility to deal with kids with mental illness in our schools.
Why does it have to be one, Jay? Why does it have to be one or the other? I mean, 90% of the populace, according to the recent polls, say they want a background check. What's so bad about a background check?
I agree there should be background check for sure, but I definitely think that the whole gun debate is overshadowing the fact that our schools don't have a good facility for dealing with people with mental illness in terms of identifying and getting medicine to kids.
Sure.
And I think that's, you know, I wish there was as much a debate about that than there is on guns.
Okay, Jay, you make a good point. I certainly can't disagree with it. Thanks again, Jay. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Let's go to, that leaves one front line open. Let's go to Lee in Ulster. Okay, Lee, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I have a comment, and I'd like to ask your opinion about something.
Anytime.
My comment is I've been listening to this, and it seems like the conversation has a tendency to drift to the extremes of the argument.
Mm.
Who's protecting the guy with the 10,000 rounds of ammunition buried underground in some Midwestern state that starts with a vowel? I don't know how to deal with that. I understand that that's part of the issue, but it seems to me as if it takes away from the basic force of the argument, which is people who run around with weapons that can kill other people should be known to someone as having those things in their possession. My question to you is, we all have insurance on our cars because the insurance companies insisted.
Sure.
They insisted. I mean, they put enormous political force behind the fact you couldn't be insured in one state and live in another and not have insurance.
Right.
So because the insurance companies were at risk and needed to manage their risk in a better way, we now all over the country have car insurance.
Yes.
Is there any way, is it a possibility, is part of the solution, since it's always about money, that the insurance companies, in fact, are at risk if unregistered guns are used to murder other people? Who is someone suable that the insurance companies need to pay?
Well, no, that's a very interesting question. Of course, you can always sue somebody, and some people are insured, you know, one way or the other through their homeowners or whatever else. However, I think you make a point. I don't know that you and I are on the same page on this, Lee, which is if the insurance companies can make a ton of money by insuring everybody who drives a car, why can't they insure everybody who owns a gun?
Who owns a gun.
You don't
Correct.
Get a gun unless you can produce insurance on it.
Right.
This, of course, will help us a little bit, at least as far as I can see, because it'll make people loath to spend more money. And
well,
every
I
time
think
you
that
make,
when, you, yeah. when a gun moves out of your possession, you'll be interested in letting somebody know where it went and that you no longer have it.
Could
so
be.
I think that, yeah. that there is a tracking, you know, God forbid we use the word tracking, but there's sort of a way to keep track of where weapons are. Once they're in the system, if they drop out of the system, you're going to the guy that's got the insurance and saying where to go.
I've always known you're a wise woman. Thank you very much, Lee. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Bye. Let's go to Dale in Oneonta. Dale in Oneonta, you're on.
Hi.
Hey.
A couple of things. Did you know that for every gun sold in the United States, that the manufacturers give the NRA a dollar?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes. So they've
never heard that
much
before.
More a lobby. A lot of this is lobbying on behalf of the manufacturers, and their biggest money makers are these assault weapons and the large capacity clips, because you know people only own so many handguns, and the hunting market is like a mature market. It's not growing. So the gun manufacturers' profit center are these assault style weapons, and they are donating money to the NRA for every gun sold.
Okay, the first thing I have to say, Dale, is I never heard it before. I didn't know it. I'm not saying you're not right. I'm just saying I never heard it before.
Okay. Maybe I read it several places.
Okay. Hey, Dale, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
One other point.
Yeah, sure.
Quickly. You can answer. I thought that in the Supreme Court decision, the gentleman that sued the city of Washington to own a gun, I thought in that decision that the Supreme Court said that the Congress did have the right to put restrictions on gun ownership.
That's right.
And I haven't heard it. And then I've never heard anyone mention that.
It's been mentioned a lot.
In the national debates.
Yeah, it has. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, that there are these partial solutions that keep coming up. Because if the court said you can't do anything to restrict gun ownership, including registrations or the way it works in a city or carrying a concealed weapon, then I think you would see all of this stuff. But I think the fact that they left the door open that way allows it to happen.
Okay.
Thanks, Dale.
All right. Thank you.
Right. Let's go to Dick in Wineskill. Dick in Wineskill, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Alan. Thanks for your note when I was in the hospital.
You're very welcome, and we were very concerned about you, as was your family, Dick.
They let me out, but
good,
thank
cool.
God. Anyway, do you know there's 100 million gun owners and only 4 million members of the NRA?
Yes, that's right. There's a very small proportion of people who own guns are in the NRA. That's correct.
And the NRA has made sure that the ATF has no teeth, that they hardly have any computers or anything they can track anything with.
Well, there are all kinds of restrictions, you're right. And I think we're coming to a point now where Americans are getting an understanding of how this process, this political process works, to the point that, you know, I don't think anybody understood these issues before. But
right.
now they are. And I think in the end, as these things continue to happen, as we see these terrible, terrible occurrences, all of us who have had children in our lives or nieces or nephews or grandchildren, and we think about these poor people who lose a son or a daughter, you know, it's not statistics. It's that we can all project ourselves into this. To me, it's quite clear. Fewer guns, fewer killings, fewer assault rifles than some people would have been alive in that room before they got the guy.
Absolutely.
You know, so to me, it's really sort of common sense. I would love to hear from an NRA member today who wants to tell us why it is that when common sense things like background checks are offered, that they're against that too. Is it the fact that any step to regulate the way in which guns are used or who owns them is perceived as a threat by the NRA? Is that what it is? And if you put a truth detector, a lie detector on somebody's arm, do they really believe that stuff? Dick,
right.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate
I just got one more
sure.
comment real quick.
Sure.
I always believed everybody can have a hammer, but only a few people should have guns.
Okay. Thanks,
a gun
Dick.
Gun is not a hammer. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Jamie in Ellenville. Jamie, you're on.
Alan, it seems like whatever you're saying is like our relationship with guns is two levels. It's a psychological level, which is like a fear of government and fear of loss of control of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
And a social level, where the rules of our society don't match the laws. And, like, you know, like, we all lead our lives in ways that are in violation of what the laws are supposed to be. So, like, that's drugs and everything else. So, like, they're needed as the legal system for that. So in order for us to get control of guns, the first thing we got to do is not make them so important to us as society. We would start by, like, looking to ways to reform our governments that we don't feel so threatened, that it's not so distant. Maybe getting things more local. And second, making it so that...
Wait. Jamie, this is so interesting. Are you telling me that you personally fear your government to the point where you think that's irrational?
No, I don't have a gun. I don't have a gun. But I understand that is the psychological... Like, people won't admit it. Like, you say, why are these NRA guys so powerful? Because we allow them to be. We want them to be irrational. Like, because subconsciously, somewhere in the back of most people's mind, they're like... You know, they're serving a purpose because I don't have an answer. So I'm afraid to give up my only security, which is my gun, you know, my precious.
Okay, so, I hear you, Jamie. I find it very hard to believe how anybody gets themselves into a state where they really believe the government is going to come along and they're going to have to use their gun on them. I find it so difficult to relate to that.
I find it irrational also. But we don't have rational solutions. We're not focused on those.
Well, if we don't have rational...
We get our society, like you say, let's get our society to a place where people just don't care about guns.
Yeah, but if we have... But if the premise is irrational and we counter it with an irrational solution, haven't we got quite a mess?
Yes, and what do we have? Quite a mess. Like, you know, the only thing that stands in our way from most of the problems in the world is a willingness to address it and deal with it. We could solve anything if we just agree to face it.
Okay, Jamie. Jamie, thank you for that. Appreciate it very much. I really enjoy when you call. Thanks again.
Thank you. Yeah, right. Have a good day. Yeah, bye. Right.
Patrick Donges, yet again, another message.
No, we have quite a few now. The comments picking up at voxpop@wamc.org, our email.
I knew it.
Kathy at voxpop@wamc.org says, how does the control of military-style guns inflict on anyone's rights? The Second Amendment does not say you can own any gun you want or any amount of ammunition. Joe, also emailing voxpop@wamc.org, says, I submit the Second Amendment was not designed to allow citizens to decide to take up arms against the United States should it become tyrannical, but to allow citizens a means to collectively defend the United States in times of threat. The means to prevent tyrannical encroachment by the United States is set forth in other areas of the Constitution, enshrined, one might say. Perhaps the current thinking by right-wingers is misguided, perhaps deliberately. And Tommy on Facebook says, Alan, Governor Cuomo's popularity has decreased dramatically due to his gun legislation, so I think he'll be more likely to continue the ban on fracking because he has alienated the right and he can't afford to alienate the left. What do you think?
That's an interesting idea. Could be. I have given my little lecture on saliency any number of times, which is that that for the gun community, this is very, very important. In the same way, for example, women's rights are for me. I mean, it's my number one priority. Somebody's against a woman's right to choose, I'm going to probably vote against them. That's at the top of my list. Well, what happened here is a very small number of people figured in this, but they let him know in no uncertain terms, in terms of his popularity, they didn't like it because for them, this was the top of their political needs. Very interesting point, and a very interesting point on the fracking. I think that's right. He needs his center-left constituents.
Got to keep somebody happy, right?
Well, yeah. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. I have given him a hard time over this time. You know that, Patrick. And in many columns and in many commentaries and the rest of it. But I did think he was a profile in courage on the guns. I did. I don't think this is a stupid man. I think he knew what was going to happen.
You know what I thought was interesting? Yeah. During Obama's speech yesterday, he referenced Governor Malloy in Connecticut and said, we shouldn't wait. We should move quickly like Governor Malloy did, and failed to mention that Cuomo was the first put out the legislation.
Yeah, well, that's true, but Cuomo, as has been said by Liz Benjamin this morning, Cuomo has at least something like this. Cuomo has trouble playing well with others. And I think there's always that. Thank you so much, Patrick, for coming in. All right, let's go to Rena in Roxbury. Okay, Rena, you're on. Let's go.
Hi. I have a couple comments. One is a reference to a gentleman who talked about seeking earlier intervention in schools and for young people, which I think is great. I think we need to reduce the stigma for people with mental illness, and I think the whole gun debate has been focusing more on people with mental illness and increasing that stigma.
You're right.
Which is a very big issue. It's been hard for practitioners under the Cuomo law now on the requirement of reporting.
Yep.
And hard on community mental health
Are you a practitioner?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
One of my main concerns with all the talk about background checks, and I do believe in background checks,
yes,
is that they're good as far as they go. But what about people who have no documented history? You can have someone who maybe in a blind rage loses a job, loses a spouse, is under the influence of alcohol or something else. They don't have a history of being treated for mental illness, or they may not have sought it out.
Yeah.
They may not have recognized they had a problem. They may be afraid to seek it out because of the fear.
You're right, Rena, but I want to get everybody in. But the other part of that is, what if you saw a therapist? Half the country sees a therapist. Is that a mental illness?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Rena, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mark in Albany. Okay, Mark, 1-800-348-2551. Again, 1-800-348-2551. Go, Mark.
Yes, Alan. I would like to add a different angle, different perspective to this conversation.
Great.
Do you believe that everyone has the basic right of self-preservation and existence? Yes or no?
Is that a trick question?
No, it's just a simple question.
Yes.
Now, why would you want to limit me or someone else from using whatever means I have to stop somebody coming into my house that wants to do my family harm?
Well, you know, first of all, you are allowed to have, like, a shotgun, right, Mark?
I have a shotgun. I'm a hunter, you know, and I believe
So you have the right to protect your family, don't you?
I do, but why should somebody limit me when the bad guy can have whatever he wants to have? He's not going through a legal channel to get his stuff. Why would I then be, in a position where I have less than 10 rounds in my clip? Who says he's going to have only 10 or less than 10?
Well, I think
wouldn't I want to have enough to stop that person?
Sure, I think
who has the right to tell me 10 rounds is enough? Who has that right?
Okay, I think your premise is flawed. I mean, I think you have the right to protect yourself. I think you have a shotgun. Somebody's coming through the door. You hear them, and you can use the shotgun. Now you can start. But I do think that the society has societal needs, which is when you have this proliferation of guns, to limit them. Now, Mark, before we go around another time, first of all, I want to say how much I appreciate your calling, because it's a different side than we often hear here. And I think that you put it on the table, and it's worth a lot just to hear how you're thinking, even though you and I certainly don't agree on this.
We don't, and I would say one last parting shot.
Sure, parting shot.
Never believe that the police are going to get there in time to save your life if someone's got a gun drawn on you and breaking down your door.
Okay, Mark.
I want to have everything possible to stop that person from coming in and hurting my family.
Okay, and what about the government? Are you one of those guys who says, I got to have my gun in case I need it against the government?
Oh, hell no. Yeah. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the right
of... Okay, no, but that is... Some people say that.
No, some people would. Yeah. That's not...
Hey, Mark. Mark, again, I want to thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome, Al. Yeah, Take care.
Bye. Let's go to RJ in Albany. RJ, you're on. Go.
Hi. I just want to say that I think Governor Cuomo did a great job with his gun legislation, and that it was bipartisan. It was supported by a lot of Republicans, and that I don't think that they're trying to infringe upon people's right to have a weapon in their house to protect themselves, even against the government or whatever, but there has to be some kind of limit. And if they had limited to 7 rounds, that guy in Connecticut would not have killed anyone.
Okay, but RJ, I hear you. But what about the Mark who just called and said, if the guy who's coming invading my house has 10 rounds and I only am allowed 7 rounds, that means he'll be able to kill me because he's better armed than I am. What do you say?
I have an answer for him.
Okay.
The guy coming into his house is going to have a lot harder time getting a rifle with 10 rounds if they're limited to 7 rounds also.
He claims, and he may be right, that there's always a way for bad guys to get a hold of weapons.
Yep, there always is, and there's no answer to anything. But they already have restrictions. You're not allowed to buy a machine gun. You're not allowed to buy a rocket-propelled grenade. They have restrictions. They have common sense limits, and that's a common sense limit.
Well, RJ, you know I agree with you, but I'm always interested in hearing what people have to say. Thanks very much, RJ. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, let's go to Stephen Beckett. I need you to do me a favor. Will you stay right there while we take a break, and we'll be right back to you. Okay, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Support for WAMC comes from the Honest Wade Food Co-op in Albany, offering local and organic produce, natural groceries, artisan cheeses, and more. HonestWade.coop. St. George's School, Clifton Park, New York, a private elementary school offering full-day academic programs to kindergarten and first-grade students. stgeorgeschoolcp.org. And Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York, announcing open house on May 2nd from 1 to 5 p.m., offering a continuum of care and services for our seniors. Caring in the family tradition, 518-393-8800.
Okay, here we are back with all of you, and particularly with Stephen Beckett. Is that right, Steve? Are you on?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, what do you have to say for yourself?
I was just wondering who's going to set the bar of who can have a gun, who can't have a gun. Because I know several policemen who have been seen a counselor at times, and he's carrying a gun, and I just wanted to know how are they going to try and restrict it.
Well, I think, you know, there's a mental health provision in this thing. I mean, in the local law, Obama wants background checks. It's an interesting question, how you cut it. But I'll be damned if I know. I mean, I'm sure that in at least one of these cases, the psychiatrist who was aware of the kid knew that the kid was quite dangerous and said something about it. And apparently nothing was done. That's what I hear.
Okay.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Okay. Patrick Donjus is back with us again. My goodness, Patrick, you keep turning up.
Yes.
That's like a certain kind of petty.
Yes. Hi. Well, we have Pastor Edward Schreiber of Atonement Lutheran Church in Saugerties writing in, emailing us at voxpop@wamc.org. Says, Alan, there are parents of children who were killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Washington lobbying for support of gun control. One of the fears voiced by them is that the country may forget the children they've lost. As you've just said, fewer guns, fewer weapons. Our church in Lent remembered the children and educators who were killed by putting a religious symbol with their names on the back of a cross. At the end of Lent, our cross was covered with symbols. We need to be freed in our country from the idolatry of gun worship.
Is that it
That's
for
it.
Now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Patrick.
Thank
Always
you,
wonderful to see you. Let's go to Beth in Montgomery, New York. Beth, let's go.
Hi, how you doing, Alan?
I'm good. My problem is I got all these people lined up here. They all want to talk. I want to give everybody just a little while. Somebody will call me and say, you didn't give me enough time to say what I wanted to say. And it's always difficult for me. And, I lose sleep at night because people don't like me when that happens.
I like you. I think, though, that on this issue, no one's thinking clearly. It's such an emotional issue. My problem is, with all these gun laws, is it wouldn't have stopped Adam Lanza at all. His mother still would have gone through a background check, been approved, and gotten the guns. The problem is, unfortunately, that woman thinks it's a stigma when you have mental illness, but unfortunately, many people in our country are sick. And we are not really documenting them. We are not helping them. We are not really facing the real issue.
Okay,
here.
So your fix, Beth, of Montgomery is? What's your fix? What do you want
to
do?
My fix is that we're going to have to be more honest about people who are mentally sick or who are dangerous to themselves and other people. As a former teacher, retired teacher, parents enable their children. You know, you may have complaints about them or you tell them what the problems are. They don't see them. They don't see them because they don't want to see them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the sadness of this story. The mother knew her son was ill and didn't really see
Okay, so you want us to be able to more clearly identify the people with the potential for doing harm.
Violent, mentally ill people. That's sure. The problem. And another thing about that insurance issue, it's totally bogus. Because what happens when guns are stolen from people's homes and they have
what
no...
Happens when your car is, what happens when your car is stolen?
Well, we have to make... Well... You report it to the insurance company.
Right.
But the point is that bad people will always get guns, and that's the truth. And that's not, we're not solving that problem, and we're not solving another problem, which is the urban problem of dysfunctional families.
So, but look, I agree with you that bad people have a tendency to get guns. But the more you bring all of these things, insurance, background checks, assault rifles, other things to the table, including all the social fixes which you're talking about, why does it have to be one or the other? Why can't it be everything?
Because what they're doing now is punishing the legal owners. They're putting them on lists, which isn't right. You know,
why not?
Punishing the people who are law-abiding.
Right? Why is it not
because
right?
Because everyone has a right to freedom, but you're saying these people have no right to freedom because they want guns. But maybe they just want guns for a hobby or for collections or something. Mm-hmm. The point is you're making a value judgment on why people keep guns. The point is that the legal owners of guns aren't the ones that are shooting up people.
Okay, Beth in Montgomery, you make your point, you make it well, and I appreciate your call. Thanks again.
Thanks, Alan. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, let's go to Dina in Goshen, Massachusetts. Okay, Dina, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I think the insurance idea was brilliant, actually.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. But why I'm calling is because I'm really angry that in order for me to walk into my children's school, I have to have a Corey background check. And people who want to buy guns, that's even still like a question.
Well, tell me about that, Dina. I'm not aware of it, so maybe you can help me because I wasn't aware. So you have to have a background
check. In Massachusetts, you have to, in order to spend any time in your children's classroom or be a volunteer, you have to have what's called a Corey background check, which
really?
You submit your a copy of your license, your social security, your parents' maiden names, and you are checked out to see if you are a sex offender or any other offenses, criminal or whatnot. So here, you know, I have this because I spend time at my children's school,
yeah.
But it just angers me to hear that someone can go buy a gun without a background check, and I'm glad that that my school has this, you know, have people Corey checked. But why are we not doing that for potential gun owners?
Well,
like,
Dina, you have certainly added to the discussion. Always gives me something to think about. Thanks, Dina.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, let's go to Stephanie in Albany. Stephanie, you're on.
Hi. Hi, Alan. You know, I just have a comment. I was raised, my father was a soldier and a sportsman, National Rifleman and Field and Stream were our laboratory library, you know. And we have good background.
I like that laboratory library. I have one, too.
And we have, you know, to get a permit, especially a pistol permit in New York, you have to have a background check, and background checks are good. But what you don't have to do when you walk into a store and buy a gun is prove that you know how to use the gun.
Wow.
You know, you can just walk in, somebody says, here, this is the perfect gun for you. You pick it up, you hold it, and if you pass the background check, you can walk out. And you don't have to prove that you know what the gun is, that you know how to take care of it, that you know how to take it apart and put it back together and clean it and maintain it and use it safely. And I think that we should implement some sort of gun education, that you have to go take a class to show you can safely use the gun that you're about to buy. You bring the certificate into the store. That says you can buy it. And then before you can walk out of the store, you have to show that you can take it apart, put it back together, and clean it.
And now do you have to have a license? Does this imply licensing people in the same way you can't drive the car out unless you show them a license?
Kind of. You know, in New York, when you get a pistol permit, every pistol you buy is written on the permit. But what you don't ever have to do when you buy that pistol and have it put on your permit is that you know how to use the gun. So you can go out and you can own 10
Stephanie,
guns.
Stephanie, you've now come around for the second time. It's a very interesting point, and I thank you for making it. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you. Okay, okay. Bye.
Let's go to Laura in Albany. Laura, you're on.
Hi. I have a couple of prongs approach of this. The first thing I think we need to do is turn the adolescent mental health paradigm upside down. Hospitalization is always seen as a last resort. And the real problem is that these boys age into their mental illness a lot later than the girls do. So when they really start looking dysfunctional, it's right around their 18th birthday. And then you are absolutely helpless as a parent to bring them to hospitalization unless they are an acute danger to themselves or others.
Right.
And I had actually started a petition on change.org that we should allow parents the ability to voluntarily admit their children up through age 25, which would dovetail to the same age that they can stay on our insurance now. Because I've seen it multiple times in my career where a mental health kid looks not so stable. You get them a little counseling, a little of this, a little of that, and then all of a sudden they're 17 and a half. They don't say anything to the counselor.
I get it. What's your career, Laura?
I'm a family physician. And then the second prong approach, which I just can't believe I haven't heard publicized, is it would be so easy to disarm, if that's what people want to do, the NRA. All you need to do is find 1 million people who are willing to pay $35, and 1 million and one, and join. And then the Board of Trustees, it just takes one election cycle to vote in who you want as the board and change the mission, vision, and values.
Fascinating.
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. I mean,
fascinating. But of course, then you got to organize people, and you've got to. There's just a lot of hard work involved.
Right, but the NRA could, if people concurrently got that idea and did it, all of a sudden the NRA could be pushing through the opposite agenda. I'm not saying one way or another, but I'm just saying these organizations are run by boards of trustees. They are voted on in elections. And
it's easier said than done. And the other thing, Laura, I'm sure you've considered this, is I don't know how much it costs to join the NRA.
I think it's $35.
So a million times 35. $5 is what, $35 million? That's a lot of money to give to the people you have some problems with.
And then my last thing to the guy who, and actually I happen to be a pro-gun person,
right.
But the last thing I say to the guy who says, I need a magazine of 10, the answer to that is buy two guns. And I know that sounds stupid, but, you know, there's a reason why every gun safe holds more than one gun.
Uh-huh. Laura, I thank you for this, and I don't want to give you the rush, but I want to try to get everybody in, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Peter in Salem, 1-800-348-2551. Go, Peter.
Hi, Alan. Three very quick comments pertaining to what people have said today. If you need 10 rounds to stop someone from getting into your home, you might want to consider putting landmines out or taking shooting lessons. Number two, I hunt. I have to register my dogs. I don't register my gun.
Do you have to? You register your dogs. Yeah, sure, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be happy to register my gun. Nobody has come to take from the government has come to take my dogs away yet.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And lastly, for the nut jobs out there that are saying that they need their guns to defend themselves against this tyrannical government, then maybe just put a laser weapon on a ship that can knock a drone out. You're not going to stop them with a Bushmaster.
Peter, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Ann in Lee. Ann in Lee, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for taking the call. And I just wanted to say, well, one thing about the schools is it seems that they could start teaching kids about a lot of different things that would, one, I question the competition that kids are taught to compete right away when they get to school, which sort of turns us into enemies in some ways. It doesn't breed cooperation and, you know, like looking out for your fellow students, being aware of, you know.
Okay, and only because we're trying to stick to the subject here, I get it. You think if people in schools taught how to get along, play well with others, in the long run, that would help to alleviate the idea that some of the kids who were not given that kind of training would kill other people with guns. Is that right?
Right. 'Cause that's one thing. But the other thing is that people, I asked a guy who's doing some work for me, who's very big into NRA and guns, but very bright. And I asked him why people in, you know, gun community objected to, you know, background checks, etc. And he started telling me all these, you know, like these theories about how the government is trying to kill us.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So what do you make of that?
And, you know, these people were talking about protecting themselves.
Yeah, no, we got it.
There's some sense of, there's a certain paranoia that exists among a lot of
Do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Me too. Okay, thanks very much, Ann. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Rich in Gloversville, where everybody goes with something on their hands. Go ahead, Rich.
Alan, I'm an NRA member.
Right. Glad you called.
I belong to two gun clubs, one here in Gloversville and one in Florida. I just spent 3 months in teabag heaven in the panhandle of Florida. Now, you know, it's two different worlds here and there. Those people have a completely different outlook than you and I have.
Sure.
I am a reluctant member of the NRA because in order to join any gun club in the United States of America, you must be an NRA member. I don't want to be, but I have to be if I want to practice my
sport. Do you have any is there anything about the way they conduct themselves that bothers you, Rich?
Everything bothers me about them. I think they're a bunch of hacks for the ammunition and gun organizations. I don't think it. I know it. Benelli, a lot of their money comes from overseas. It comes from Benelli, Glock, Beretta, et cetera. On their board of directors, I was listening to the doctor, on their board of directors is Harry Potter, is Larry Potterfield, who is the owner of Midway Gun Sales. They have everybody on their board is a member of a gun sale company or a rifle company or an ammunition company. They do their elections.
Okay,
one third at a time.
Rich, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I do have all these people here. So tell me very quickly what you want to do.
What I want to do, I support anybody who is in favor of 10-shot limits. I mean, your man who's afraid of people in coming through his house. If you've aggravated enough people that you need more than 10 shots to protect yourself. You don't need a gun, you need a bus ticket.
Rich, thanks again. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay, right. Let's go to Jay in Albany. Okay, Jay, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Thank you very much. I'm glad I'm at the end of the show. I just want to say one thing very quickly.
Good.
A number of centuries ago, someone figured out that you could take gunpowder and a lump of lead and jam it down a tube, light it off, and it makes it a lot easier to kill something at a distance.
Okay, go.
And believe that's why we have guns. That's why targets are in the shape of people, and you try to blast for the head or the heart.
Okay, guns, what do you want to do?
I think anything that deadly needs to be regulated. It should be licensed, background checked, and regulated. Yeah, the criminals and the Meshuggahs have all the weapons they want, it seems.
Yeah, Meshuggah for the regulated. It means, you know, nuts. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it very much.
So thank you for letting me in.
Sure. Let's go to Gene in Peru. Okay, Gene, how are things in Peru?
Oh, pretty good, Alan. It's looking good out there now.
You got your yak out?
Yes. Hey, I just wanted to say one thing. Alan, I'm really discouraged because I live in Massachusetts here, and every time I renew my gun ownership license, I go through a quarry check. And also, every gun of mine is registered. So I don't know where people are getting off on saying that this isn't happening.
Well, it's not universal. It is
well,
not.
Well, no, not universal, but it is in Massachusetts big time.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and I just wanted to bring that point out. You know, we already do have a lot of gun control, and it just seems like most of the people that are calling aren't aware of that. And I just wanted to make that point. And
well, as you know, Andrew Cuomo just made it so in New York. So that while you say it may exist in some places, and frankly, I'm not up on my gun laws, and I don't know.
I don't think a lot of other people are either. But I wanted to make that point. Massachusetts is very, very conscious about.
Well, I'm glad to hear it because I live in Great Barrington. Let me put it that way. Thank you. Thanks very much, Gene.
You're welcome, Alan. Have a good day.
You too. Okay, I'm so sorry. Les from Del Mar and Ed from Salt Point and Ned from Lee, Massachusetts. You're not going to make it today. I am so, so apologetic. And again, I apologize. We try to get this thing done. I try to rush people along, but sometimes you just don't make it. So again, to Les and Ned, my apologies. So anyway, so the main thing now is to finish up here. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Support for the Vox Pop comes from NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com. The Albany Academy's Albany, New York, hosting the Albany Children's Book Festival April 27th from 10 to 4 p.m., featuring 50 authors and illustrations open to the public, albanychildrensbookfestival.org. The Washington County Tourism announcing Tour of the Battenkill, a 65-mile cycling race course featuring an expo, art show, vendors, and more this Saturday and Sunday, Washington, New York, newyorkcountry.com. WashingtonNYCountry.com. And Curtis Lumber, providing kitchens, baths, doors and windows, paint, flooring, and more since 1890, with 21 locations in New York and northern Vermont, CurtisLumber.com. Again, everybody, thanks for joining us on the Vox Bomb. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by the super volunteer and wonderful man, Bruce Herbach. Our producer is Patrick Donges, who you've heard from today on several occasions. I'm Alan Chartok. On tomorrow's show, get set for this. It's the poetry form. Roses are red. Stay tuned now for a news update.